Turn in your Bibles. 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 7 through 13. And we're going to call this message, "This is How to Enjoy Christmas." If you would stand for the reading of the Word. 1 John 4, verses 7 through 13. Hear the word of the Lord. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. Father, we know that when we are born again, the Spirit is among us and in us, and yet we still see in Your Word where there are special ministrations, where He comes. And so I ask You, come. In the name of Jesus, for His glory and in His name, amen. You may be seated. You know, after hearing all the music today and hearing the presentation and all that, you might think, well, the next question I ask, you've kind of been steered the right way already. If I ask, what do you really want for Christmas? Everybody's kind of been primed the pump. They would kind of be stirred a different way. And I don't mean to stir you back the other way. I mean to stir you in the same way. But I would say this, before, you know, you got all pious, let's say, and you're feeling it, and it was tomorrow or the next day, and maybe you're thinking, well, if I really, really, really got what I, quote unquote, wanted for Christmas, oh, I've got Jesus, I get that. But I really like that new toy if you're a child, or maybe if you're a teenager, I'd like that car, oh my. Or if you're a man or woman, I'd like that new tool, or that new appliance, that new piece of jewelry. As you mature, you might think, I wish my children were home. I wish I could see my son or my daughter again. These things, these miles or whatever it is, separate me from what would make it the most joyous. Oh, I'm going to have joy. I know the reason for the season. But if You really, really, really gave me what I really wanted and I had everything that I wanted, there would be this other thing that, you know, would kind of make it more full. But as we heard, it's really, a few minutes ago, it's really all the same thing. Because whether you're looking fully at Jesus or you're looking at other things or however it is, what you're wanting is joy. What you're wanting is peace, love. What you're wanting is fulfillment, satisfaction, safety, rest, any of these things. And of course, we know Jesus came into the world and He is these things for us. I understand that. But if we really want to fully appreciate Christmas for what it is, we need to know what it's about and then what we do with it. Now, everything that I'm going to talk about, I can't talk about all Christmas from one text. I can't do that. This is not everything about this subject or the last word on this subject, but it's foundational to this subject. In hearing this, I'm hoping that you hear the Word of God and He says why Jesus was sent and then what we're supposed to do with that. Because too often we know mentally, we say, yeah, I know Jesus came, forgave my sins, I get that. Sometimes it's even in our heart, and we, you know, we can feel that. But it needs to come from your head and your heart and out of your hands, and you do something with that. If you've been given the gift, this gift is to share. And so I'll let the Holy Spirit speak to all of your hearts and how to apply that, but I'm just going to go very quickly through this. And I read the text and I made some bullet points. Why was Jesus sent? Well, because God loved us. That's why he was sent, and he wanted his love manifest among us. If, you know, I was going to say, Margie, I want to manifest my love to you, whatever the greatest thing would be, it might be a kiss in that moment. It might be the ring on her finger. It might be that television. It might just be I go to Oklahoma and get the grandkids this Christmas in the car. 2 and 5. Don't worry, we're flying them back. So the thing is, it might change a little bit here and there. But if we really love someone, we give them everything. That's what we give them. I pledge my life to my wife. There is no other. Beautiful ladies everywhere. I'm a smooth-talking guy. Yeah, yeah. But what's mine is mine. I am my beloved's, and she is mine. And God says you're bought for the price. He has invested everything in you. Everything. He gave you his son. He gives you his word. Whew! His word. And he gives you his spirit. God protects his investment, don't you know? God's going to get out of you what he wants to get out of you. Now, you can just join in on that and do what he says to do, or you can just, you know, let the investment just kind of be spent by other people. There's enough to go around. Jesus is enough to go around. Somebody, Jesus is enough to go around. He's invested in you. So why was Jesus sent? Because God loves you, and he wants to make his love manifest to you. He says, I'll give you everything. I mean, if someone gave you everything and they said, okay, Dwayne, $1 billion, go to it. You say, well, hallelujah, Lord, how can we best use this? What can we do? There could be, you know, some temporal housing. We got to do all these other things. Okay, let's think about that. How do we best be a steward of that? But then there would still be the red tape. Still got to go to the building committee. Still got to make it right with Uncle Sam somehow. There's still these things, but you know that you had what you had. You'd still have to walk the thing out and do that, but you'd be like, hallelujah, I've got what I need. Now I can do the walk. Now you think about that and apply that. You've got what you need. He's made his love manifest to you. Look at the cross that's right there. What about my pain? What about my sin? Why am I? Look at right there. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. So why was Jesus sent? Because God loved us. And he wanted that love to be manifest among us. He wanted to show where love springs from. And this is love. God is love. Anything that is true love comes truly from God. Even people out there that don't love God and are against God, if they do kind things, whether they realize it or not, that was a godly impulse. They don't give God glory for it, but it still gives glory to God because what's right is right. You know what I'm saying? But we do so consciously, giving glory to God. We say like Paul, it is not I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me, who gave his son for me. You are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, I glorify God. So why was Jesus sent? Because he loves us and he wants to make the love manifest. He wants to show us where true love springs from. It springs from God. Because there was sin and it needed payment. He said he became the propitiation. Propitious means he makes us at peace with him. Right? I stole some cash from you. Wrecked your car. What have I got to do to make it right? I got to get you a new car and give you back the cash. That makes you, you propitiate. It means payment. Simple. Don't get hung up on the big words. Payment. But what does that mean? It needed to be paid. Has anybody ever had sin in their life in this building? Should everybody in the world raise their hand? Yes. We are sinners in need of a Savior. And he has saved us. He sent his Son into the world to show us his love and to ultimately show it, because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. We were spitting him in the face. We didn't just wreck his car and steal his money. Then we kicked him in the behind, start beating him with a club and said, blah, 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 blah. And yet he says, I love you and I give you my life. You think about that. And we talk about marriages where what can I do today to make my marriage a 10? I want a woman that's going to be with me, and I have one, praise God, that when it was a -5, she still wants to be with me. We have people and they say, you know, your dreams and you're going to get on with God, and that's good, but you know you still got to walk through the valley sometimes. Yeah. When you know you've got what you're going for, then you can stay on the path. You feel it when you get off, and then he guides you again. The Bible says he's leading us in triumphal procession. We could call this sermon the Christmas parade. When Jesus came to the earth, he came to announce, they announced that goodwill to men, peace on earth. The parade had started. Jesus was marching all the way back to glory. He came to earth and he's leading the parade. Now you're going to get in the parade. Sometimes that parade leads through pain, poverty, problems, persecution, prison, the path. But are you on the path? Again, I've described this for you before, but there's some new people here now. When he talks about that in 2 Corinthians 2:14, he says he leads us in triumphal procession. That means it's like when the conquering king would conquer another town or a general. They have a big parade, and the general will be up front, "Hail Caesar, hail this, hail that." And then behind that would be all the soldiers lockstep. You think that's us? No, it isn't. It isn't us. Behind that were the prisoners. Drug in chains, being led to the Colosseum for slaughter. We who are about to die salute you. And sometimes the world would say, look, they're being dragged through the mud. Little Citrus County, oh, you're a great preacher, look at you. Oh, yeah, you know, homeless shelter and all that. Yeah, you can fool yourself, yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, this. Oh, yeah. Your life's never going to get back. You're 36 years old, you drunk. You ruined your body, Missy. No one's ever going to want you. That's what the world says, but that's not what Jesus says. We are willing captives to Christ, even if we have to be dragged by chains and in the mud. And the rest of the world will say, down, dark. No, when Jesus' light shines through that, how great is that light? Yes. It's not that we've captured life, but that Jesus has captured us. Yes. He comes in the world and invests himself and says, now do you believe? Are you in the parade or are you in the charade? Triumphal procession. The rest of the world can say, ha ha. And you go, hail him. And you show that your life believes no matter what happens to you. Yeah. Ultimately, it will not blow up in your face, but sometimes it does blow up in your face. Right. But even when it does, even when we fall down, he has risen again. But there was sin and it needed payment. And once someone's paid something so big, you go, whoo, hallelujah. Do you really understand what he's did for you? Why was Jesus sent? Because God loved us and wanted to make it manifest. Because he wanted to show where true love springs from. These are all in the verse. I can point back. This is verse 6. This is verse 7. You know that. Because there was sin and needed payment. But there's something here. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live. That doesn't just mean eternal life. Means him living his life. We need ambassadors on every front. We need bricklayers. We need bathroom attendants. We need garbage men. We need homeless shelter. We need presidents. We need... The battle is on every front. Your role that God has given you has dignity because God is in it. The most important thing about you, the most important thing about anybody in this room, and any room, is the most important thing about the universe, and that is Jesus Christ. So I could have this IQ and have this money and have this wife and have this life. And you, the rest of the world, would say, well, you've got nothing. Look at that. But if you've got Jesus Christ, you've got everything that I've got. You've got the most important thing about me. You have. He shows his love for us because his spirit comes into us. And if you've got that, he's the one that created everything. All the other stuff will go away. You'll get what you need. Believe me. Do you want to borrow daddy's car? Or you want dad to give you a car? He invests himself in you. He invests himself in you. That's what came into the world was investment. Investment. So that we might live. Why did Jesus come into the world? To give us the spirit of love. The Father is love's source. Verses 7 and 8. He's the fountain. The Spirit is love proven to the world. That's Jesus. He shows that. The Spirit is love experienced in the heart. We know this because he's been giving us his Spirit. The Father is love sourced. I'm almost done. The Son is love proven. The Spirit is love experienced. And we become love demonstrated. John 3:16, and you know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. And the Bible says if he so loved us, 1 John 3:16, that's how you remember it. John 3:16, 1 John 3:16. If he so loved us, we ought to all be able to give our lives for one another. Look at verse 11. Just look at it. Talk about taking a deep breath. Beloved, if God, did he? If God, yes. If God so loved us, did he so love us? Then we ought to love one another. So, three things and I'm done. How can we enjoy Christmas? Number one, by knowing God's love. If you understand God's wrath and what sin is really deserves, then you can understand God's love. You don't think it's a big deal, believe me, you haven't experienced that. You need to see the weight and the depth of your sin. Oh, it's just affecting me. No, no, no. What season is it? Football season? Baseball season? It's football season. Drew Brees quarterbacks the New Orleans Saints. Until last night, they had a 13-0 record. Then they lost last night. Even if they win the rest of the games this year and win the Super Bowl, which would be good for them and all of that, would they have a perfect record? Now, can they ever achieve in this year a perfect record again? If you had 1,000 batting average and one time you didn't get a hit, could you ever get 1,000 batting average again? No. If heaven is perfect and one sin comes in, is it now perfect? Your one sin destroyed the entire universe. Your sin. Your sin. Your one sin. You say, that makes me feel bad. It ought to make you feel bad. You ruined the universe. It was you, Judy. You ruined the universe. You ruined it. But God paid for it. And not just yours, but the sins of the whole world, it says. That's how big and bad sin is. And you can't just casually dismiss that. You need to get over casually dismissing that and start to really feel that. And you say, but that'll make me feel bad. But that's the bad news. And then comes the good news. For the good news to be really good, the bad news has to be really bad. Jesus had to come to the world. Not just Jesus died for my sins, he died because of my sins. I'll read 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to also lay down our lives for the brothers. That means in service. So how do you enjoy Christmas? By knowing God's love. By living for God, an incarnational life. You want his spirit and his power to live through you. You want to do what Jesus would do. And lastly, by loving one another. How can you enjoy Christmas? By knowing God's love. By living for God. And by loving one another. Salvation has appeared to all men. That's not the question. The question is, do you want to be saved? Father, thank you for being you. Thank you for sending your Son into the world that we might live through him, that he would be a payment for our sin. But now, Lord, we accept and receive you, full of grace and truth, and as the payment of our sin. Now we want to live for you. Help us to love one another. Help us discover the fullness of all that that means this season. And let Christmas and Easter and everything in between always be the season in our heart, that we would always be grateful to you, to be able to keep our eyes on you, to realize that you have invested yourself in us and you're taking us home. And even when we're on that road of life, when we fall down, you pick us back up. And even though we die, we will rise again, for you have risen. Come, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. We're going to see you here, there, or in the air. God bless you.